Brad Davidson, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, everyone. How are we, guys?
Yeah, really well, thank you. And now, I've just seen this morning on social media that Pride of Jenny's owners had a bit of a crack at J-Mac, James McDonald. Tell us about this.
Yeah, he has. It's created a bit of a storm on social media yesterday, and no doubt will only add to the rematch come the springtime. So Pride of Jenny's owner, Tony Otterbury's, basically, there was a little photo there on social media with J-Mac saying, bring it on, a rematch between Via Sestina and Pride of Jenny in the spring. And, Tony sort of had a few words to say from that, basically saying, J-Mac was beaten by an Irish jumps jockey who's probably not, was underselling Declan Bates a bit there, but... basically saying, you didn't take any chances. I hope you have a crack next time, and a few other choice words in there. So, for anyone on social media, go check it out. But no doubt we'll add to the theatre and rivalry come the rematch in the spring.
Oh, I love that. I don't think we see enough of it.
Not much in
racing
between
seems
connections.
Different. Yeah. It doesn't seem like other sports, whereas that real rivalry and people have a crack at each other. I actually like it. I think it's good for the sport. I'll tell you what, though. I think I'd rather be on... I'll ask you. You're the expert, Dave. If they both lined up again, who are you jumping on the back of?
Via Sestina?
Yeah, I was about to say the same.
Yeah,
I just think that, the other day it was... They're not gonna let that happen again, and particularly J-Mac's gonna have a little. He might cut that out and post it on the wall, and keep remembering himself every time coming towards spring. But yeah, I agree with you, Loz. I think it's good to have a bit of banter and a bit of rivalry. I think that the racing jurisdiction should really talk up the rematch. It adds a bit of spice
to
definitely.
It.
As long as it's done in a respectful way and whatever, then we've got it. We need more rivalries in the great game of horse racing.
Dave-O, Magic Time claims a brave all-age stakes win. Where to now?
Yeah, certainly did, Mossy. Probably a little bit of a rest after that. It was a testing track by the time they got to the all-age there on Saturday. But look, she was terrific. She's done a great job, hasn't she, to win a few Group 1s in her career already now. And, of course, broadsiding took out the champagne. Manoa didn't seem to handle the conditions, but it was a great win by broadsiding coming from the tail, albeit finding the right part of the track. And hitting the line beautifully to hold off linebacker late. They gapped third. So the two Group 1s to end the autumn, both deserving winners there on Saturday.
And what were your thoughts on... we got through the Group 1s... It was heavy, wasn't it? Just deteriorated. Rain on race day is never great for the track.
No, exactly right. And I know a few people were criticising the track. And it's always rain on race day is tricky. I think probably the more disappointing part was the way the track played. It was, a massive bias towards horses that found the fence during the run before the straight. So basically, if you found the fence in the run, I think it was worth 3 or 4 lengths personally. And This is a point I'd like to bring up is I think the awareness of it on race day is something that jockeys and stables need to improve a bit on. Look, I'd be surprised, but, we were talking about this bias from basically after race number one when the first 5 horses in race one found the fence and just scooted along. You could tell that the bias was pretty much there from really early on. But it seems like it's something that a lot of jockeys pick up on far too late, and a lot of stables, I would say, the same. Like, this should be, it was obvious for everyone after 2 or 3 races. Punters were talking about it on social media. We were talking about it on Sky One. Yet, they're seeing jockeys and stables that were oblivious to it most of the day. And, when you're talking about hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars up for grabs, I mean, any jockey really should be watching the race, every race, and working out, okay, is there a bias today? And so should the stables, because really, if I had a horse there on that Group 1 race day on Saturday, the only thing that I'd be wanting my trainer to tell the jockey pre-race there on Saturday is whatever you do, your number one goal is to safely find the fence, because it was worth 3-4 lengths. And it's amazing to see some, like Nash, J-Mac, they knew where the they knew the vice, but there were a lot of other jockeys there on Saturday who were completely oblivious to it, and that's partly their fault, but partly probably the stables as well not telling them that before the race. So I just think it's something that awareness-wise that, gee, we can get a lot better in this game because it seems like the best know it, but it seems like there's a big gap and a lot of others just have no idea that there's actually a bias on the day.
Well, I saw Nash interviewed after, it might have been Wetor, when he won, and Corey asked him about coming up the inside, and he said, I watched the early races, or something like that. He said, I knew where I needed to be.
Yeah, and Nash is one of the best at it. Yeah, he gets it, and that's why he rides Canterbury so well, because Canterbury's been better lately, but there was a period there for 2 or 3 years where it was the same bias, where you need to be on the fence, and Nash just knew that and cottoned on before others. And you could see even J-Mac in the Champagne Stakes. He took the position behind the outsider in the field on the fence last. And, in a normal race, that would be an absolute no-no. You just would not do that because you get caught behind the what the market's saying is the slowest horse in the field. You just never do that as a Group 1 jockey. But J-Mac knew that you had to find the fence. So, it was actually a good ride because he went and found the right part of the track and then got off at the right time and that. So, when there's a bias like that, it's almost like the inside's probably like maybe a soft six, and only where off the fence is a heavy 10. So, getting on that fence and riding that position for this maybe 600-800 metres down the back straight is, massively advantageous.
Briefly, who are we following and forgiving?
Well, like I said, because of that bias, you basically there's a few horses to follow, and they're mainly all off that offence on the weekend. Tannhauser was one. I think he wins the Frank Packer Plate quite comfortably on a fair track. He just couldn't find that fence. J-Mac went back in the field trying to look for it, but couldn't get there, and he had to circle the field as a result, and no horse could do that on the day and win. He's a shocker, Ditto, in the 2,000-metre race. He was outstanding off the fence, and I thought Valana was terrific as well, considering he was off the fence and ran really well first up on what was a very testing track. So there's three horses to follow. As for the forgive file, basically any horse that wasn't on the fence, Raffle pulled up lame, Cinnawan and Airman pulled up lame, and Saturday Chicken pulled up with Cardiac Arrhythmia. So a few excuses there on the weekend, but My advice would be just be a little bit careful about backing horses that were super impressive that found the right part of the track there on Saturday as well going forward.
Thank you, Brad. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Chat tomorrow.